allowing us to slow down so we could walk with you through the journeys and through the trials that we have faced that we were not aware that were coming, but it was no surprise to you. Thank you for walking us through them. We ask you to continue to lead us and bless us, and we'll be so mindful to praise you. In the name of Jesus the Christ, our resurrected Lord, we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Glad to see you. Every now and then, when it comes down to this Sunday in the month, the fifth Sunday, and I look out and I don't see quite as many faces as I used to see on first, second, third, or fourth Sunday, I think about now we call her one of the old timers. I think about Miss Carolyn Allen. She used to say at Lebanon, if God would show up on the fifth Sunday, a lot of people would be left out. But I'm glad you don't know when and you don't know where. You just know he's a coming. And if he's coming, he's on the way. We're glad to see you, and I'm glad you stopped by, and I'm going to let you have this because I've been messing with it all the week, and I didn't seem to do too well at it, and feel like you can do a better job at it than I can. But he fed it to me, so I'm going to give you it to you. Praise the Lord with all your heart. Let me just add a little sidebar here. I didn't write this down there, but if the word says praise the Lord with all your heart, yeah, somebody must have been doing it half-heartedly or quarter-heartedly or hardly not at all. But it just wasn't full, wasn't with everything that you had. Ushers, y'all can take your seat. You can take your seat. You can take your seat. But nothing less than wholehearted praise is worthy of the Lord. At the very beginning of this psalm, David declared his purpose for this psalm. It is a praise song to the Lord. The Hebrews view the heart as the seat of thought. David was fully engaging his mind in his worship, in his meditation on God's faithfulness, on God's righteousness, on God's power to produce what he said he would produce. In this psalm we have, and don't y'all get afraid, you're not going to be here that long. We got 8 points. Why the Lord deserves our total praise. By passionately praising the Lord at very difficult times in his life, David provided a powerful example for us. His enemy were ferociously pursuing him, so much so that he felt that he stood at the very gates of death. You find that in verse 13. We didn't go down that far in the message, but it's in verse 13. Yet in the midst of life-threatening danger, David did what we need to do. He focused his mind on God. When he meditated on the Lord rather than his problem, his heavy heart was overflowed with praise. In so doing, he teaches us an important lesson. That is, if we're in the midst of our perilous times, perilous trials and times that we're having, we should take our eyes off of our problems and fix them on the Lord. If you focus on your problem, then your problem becomes your main focus and is your biggest hindrance from getting what God would have you to have. So focus on that. Point number one. Praise the Lord with all your heart because of God's marvelous work that he's done down through the ages. Praise him with your whole heart because of where he brought you from. Whenever trouble surrounds us, we should take a stroll down memory lane. Every one of us, if we told the truth, could rehearse in his or her personal history and testify of God's faithfulness. Time and time again, when we have asked him to meet our need, he met our needs. We have witnessed the marvelous work of God in our lives. He meets our needs. World history records that God has time and time again performed awesome feats for his beloved people. His holy word is a divine record of his marvelous deeds. We thrill and we, although we've seen the movie a whole bunch of times, we thrill at the idea of watching Moses stand up there and stretch out his rod and the Red Sea parts. We thrill at thinking about water standing up on itself. We thrill at thinking about Elijah when he built that altar in chapter 18, I think it's the first or second king, when he built that altar and the heathens had built their altar and the magicians then when they would do a trick, if fire, they fire would start at the bottom and work up because they had a substance in there that would ignite. We thrill at the idea that when Elijah called down fire and God sent the fire, it burnt from the top down to show that he's God. If we would rehearse where God have brought us from, the marvelous things that he have done in all of our lives, where he have brought us from, that's reason to praise him. Say, praise is what I do. Praise is who I am. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And think about this. Young brother Daniel would not deny his God. Thrown in the lion's den. Looked at an animated cartoon and they showed where Daniel was laying on the lion, going to sleep. And then think about his three friends that would not serve the false god but were cast in the fiery furnace. Looked in, saw them there. Did not we throw in three? But don't we see four now? I don't know how they knew this, but they said one of them looked like. Yeah. If we would rehearse what God have done for us, all of us that's in here today, rehearse where God have brought you from. Oh, what a great God he is. All we need to do is just remember where he brought us from. We don't just have to go to history. We could come to right now. God, you brought us. We thank you for bringing us. If we just rehearse the things that you've done for us in the yesterdays of our life, we would be a witness to somebody that need to be witnessed to this day. Point number two. We should praise him with our whole heart because of God's wonderful name. He is the Most High. Ain't nobody like him. Trouble is like a dam. But this dam blocks the joy of the Lord from flowing through us. Trouble keeps our joy away. But when we meditate on who God is, oh, what unspeakable joy breaks through and floods our soul. David was in a lot of danger. I told you in verse 13, he says he felt like he was standing right at the door of death. But David had made up his mind. He was going to rejoice in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we need to make up our mind that we're going to rejoice in the Lord. And we can rejoice in him because we need to understand who God is. If you know who God is when we praise him, it stirs him to come and assist us in what we need. And sometimes when you're praising him, you might not be looking for or expecting anything. Just praising him because of who he is. And yet he will shower you with blessing. They used to sing a song. You can't be God-given. No matter how you try, he's going to give you what you stand in the need of. But you got to know who you're talking to. You got to know this God. He is an unshakable God. He is the Most High God. To Abraham, he was Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. When winter sacrifices his son, God will provide because he's God. And Abraham honored him as the Most High. God will do that. God is supreme. He is over everything and everybody. Might not want to recognize him today. Oh, but keep seeing sunrises and sunsets. You're going to stand before the judge one day, and you're going to need to know who you're standing before, and he's going to need to know who you are. You can't go there before him and he not know you. Oh, he's going to know you because he's going to have to decide where you're going to go. But you will decide where you spend eternity. Ain't but one or two tickets, one or two places, heaven or hell, and you will make that decision. God is greater than any trouble we may face. The problem with a lot of us is we tell God how big our problem is. There can be no big problem to God because he's sitting high and looking low. This place where we live is a speck in the eyesight of God. So don't tell him how big your problem is. Tell your problem how big your God is. He's a big God. And nothing or nobody can stop him if you are living the way he would have you to live. David's joy was not in the victory he had been given, but his victory was in God who had given him the victory. We need to give God the glory for the victories that he have produced in our lives. We don't need to take credit for it. Because if I could take credit for anything, it would be the situations that I got myself in. But God didn't leave me there. He brought me out, and for that we said thank you. We are to testify of God's miraculous work, but we are to celebrate God himself. Don't look at what he's done for you. Look at him. See him, not what he's done. See him, because he's bigger than anything else. Point number three. Those first two points. Point number one was found in verse one. Point number two is in verse two. Point number three is in verse three. We should praise him with our whole heart because God turns back and overthrow those who would cause me trouble. God turned back and overthrow all those that would cause me trouble. Remembering God's wondrous work in the past produced strong faith in David for the present. I know he can get me through this because he brought me through that. When he brought me through that, whatever was on the other side of that, he carried me through that as well. He did not petition God to turn back his enemy. In faith, he declared that his foes would retreat when they saw God that he was facing. God would face them down on my behalf. This is how I made myself understand it. I said, here's King David out here, and his enemies are charging him, and they're at full speed, and their weapons are drawn. Suddenly seemed like out of nowhere, the Lord appears and steps into the path of those that's coming my way. And y'all have to excuse me here, and I know this is going to bother some of you, but maybe you'll get over it. I thought about Tom and Jerry on the Cartoon Channel. When I got right here, this is where my mind went, and I could see Tom chasing Jerry in one episode. I forgot what the bulldog's name is, but Tom, Jerry, and the bulldog had a covenant that if he blew the whistle, he would come to his aid. I can see Tom chasing him right now just as fast as he could. And Jerry blew that whistle and up showed that big bulldog. I could hear Jerry trying to stop and go the other way. That's how I see my enemy. When they're coming at me, my enemies and my foe are coming at me. And they think they got me because I'm down to my last nerve. I can't stand anymore. But just because the presence of the Lord, that's a great defense of me, his child. And when he does this, this ignites the spirit, my spirit, with courage. And it encouraged me to come away with death-defying boldness to stand and proclaim the word of God. Consider Moses again, relying on the presence of the Lord as he led the children of Israel into the promised land. Or consider David, who marched fearlessly through the valley of the shadow of death, because he knew the Lord was with him. Infused with the confidence of God's unfailing presence, we can face whatever obstacles stand in our way. We can even fulfill the great commission of carrying the gospel to every nation that there is in the world. You don't have to go yourself, but you can help fulfill the mission of the world, the great commission. But you have to know that you know that you know that you know that God is on your side. More than that, you're on God's side. We need to stay with God because we need to praise him with our whole heart. Not half-heartedly, and not just when you're in trouble, but when things seem to be going well, you need to praise him. Praise him when you get up in the morning. Praise him in the middle of the day. Don't just wait till Sunday to praise him. And brothers and sisters, if you haven't tried it, try it sometime between now and next Sunday. Try praising him when nobody else is around, but just you and God, and just praise him for what he's done for you just for that day. You will always be surprised. Point number four is because we need to praise him with our whole heart, because God upholds our rights and the right cause. We can be assured that God is on our side only when we are on his side. David was confident that he had conducted himself righteously and in full obedience of God's commandment. If you haven't been obedient to what he told, what he said in his word, why should you expect him to come to your aid? You need to understand that you need to be obedient to the word of God. David acknowledged that God had always acted consistently with him within his own character. First, the Lord always sat on his throne. He's never shirked his duty as judge of the universe. He never vacated the bench of divine justice. Nobody else have ever been on his throne but him. The president, the emperors, and all get up seated sometime. And they might die sometime. Or they may lose on a coup where they get somebody throw them out. But God have always been on the throne. There's not going to be another God to take his place. He's God all by himself. He never fails to rule in any case. Then the Lord has always vindicated the righteous and pronounced judgment on the wicked. You don't have to worry about him. You don't have to try to get even with it. For he said, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. If you are his child, God will provide the protection that you need. But we need to praise him with our whole heart. Don't not praise him because you're in a bad situation. That's when you ought to praise him the more. Praise him in everything you do. David had witnessed this in his own life experience. He knew that God's verdict is always right, that no case will ever be appealed. You hear tell us sometime the Supreme Court getting an appeal, they retry something, but God never had a retrial. Everything that he judged have been fair and just because he's a righteous God. He's going to do just what's right because I'm going to praise him with my whole heart. I'm not going to do it because or feel good or don't feel good. I'm going to do it anyhow because he's God. I'm going to praise him with my whole heart. Might not feel all right. Maybe aches in my body. But my spirit man is not anything wrong with him. And I'm going to praise him no matter what comes or what goes. Because without God, I am nothing. I'm lost and I'm on my way to hell. Point number five, I'm going to praise him with my whole heart because God rules and judges righteously. That's in verse 5 and 6. God will rebuke the heathens. He will rebuke the nations that have risen up against him and his people. Now, listen, God is just like we are in some things, or we're just like him. He loved the nation of Israel. He would take and he would discipline them whenever they got wrong. He disciplined them with heathen nations. And then after the heathen nations got over them, they mistreated them worse than what God had intended for them to do because they had a choice. But now those nations, you can't find them around. There's not a Philistine nation around here today. They tell me there's not a nation of Assyria. Somebody else owned the same land and the nation is called by another name. That's because they were wicked and they hung from the people of God. Even God using them to bring Israel back to him. Listen, all of those nations that were bad, wouldn't do like God wanted them to do, they're going to have to stand before him and be judged according to the word of God. When you stand before God, what do you want him to say to you? Come ye hither or depart from me, your workers of iniquity. Listen, all those nations have perished. And just like those nations perish, if you don't serve a true and a living God, you will perish too. We need to praise the Lord with our whole heart. Not when somebody else tell me to praise him. I need to praise him because of where he brought me from. Someone said, if nobody else go, I'll go by myself. If nobody else praise him, I'll praise him by myself. My praise might not be like your praise. Don't condemn my praise because it's not like yours. Well, we just got to praise him with our whole heart, because God is looking at the heart of the individual that's praising him. God have had a covenant with the nation of Israel, and he made the covenant. He started calling them my people. We said this morning in the book of Exodus, he started owning them. He claimed them as his own. And when he claimed them as his own, he would not go back on his word. He won't renege. He won't break his contract, because he's going to keep it, because he's God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, point number six, we must worship him, praise him with our whole heart, because God reigns forever. He will never get off the throne of grace. He will always be there. Nations come and go. Governments rise and fall. King and rulers live and die. The only constant on every single page of the world history is God. History is his story. When you want to read history, read the Bible, you will find it just like it started. But that's the truth. But God will be on his throne forever. Before the earth was, he was on his throne. After this world have disappeared and the new one come on, he still will be on the throne. Y'all do know that we're going to change governors here in a little while. You do know we're going to change presidents in a little while. You do know that God is going to yet be on the throne, because he's God. He's everlasting. He's been there for a long time, and he'll be there for a longer time than that. God reigns forever, forever and a day. Every moment of every day of every century in history, he will be on the throne. He's there, and he's there to stay. He will rule over the new earth and the new heaven. Oh, Lord, where there will be no sin, he will be God. Won't you be glad when you get there? You can sleep all night with the doors wide open and the windows up. Won't need an air conditioner, because God will be on the throne and Jesus will be ruling. God's all right, y'all. When my help get here, things will be all right. Jesus, God, will reign forever. They've been here all this time, and they're not going to leave now, because he's God. He will reign forever, and we need to praise him with our whole heart. Don't half do it. Just praise him. If they look at you real strange and you don't want to look back at them, close your eyes and just praise him anyhow. Just praise God all the time, because he's worthy to be praised. Throughout all eternity, he will rule over everything and everybody. I'm glad that I'm getting the opportunity to praise him with my whole heart. See, praising is what I do. And if you praise him, there's a blessing on the other side. But you don't need to praise him just because you're looking for a blessing. I said it earlier. You need to praise him because of who he is and where he brought you from and where he's going to take you to. You need to praise him with your whole heart. If you get praising with your whole heart, it won't be room for the devil to get inside. Where he is, the devil cannot reside. You need to praise him with your whole heart. Point number seven. This is in verse 8. We need to praise him with our whole heart because God will judge the world and govern the people with justice. With justice. Justice is a big word. Making sure everybody, all of us, are treated the same. Brothers and sisters, I stop by to tell you that we can rest assured that God will judge us fairly. Everybody will be judged the same, with no exception. God will execute justice on the whole wide world. Even on the globe itself, including the atmosphere and the heavens, there's not a spot on the face of the earth where God's justice will not ultimately prevail. Brothers and sisters, if you think that what you have done, the sins that you committed, that they won't be judged, I need to wake you up. He's going to judge him. That sin that you think nobody knows about, you got to confess those sins. Those people that you just said you never would forgive for what they've done to you, you need to forgive them. Because justice will plumb the line. If not before God judges the world, when he judges it. And I would much rather face judgment being judged down here than I had for God to judge me and tell me to depart from him because I had so much sin in my life and had not received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And piggyback on Sunday school lesson this morning, you can do all the churchy things. If your heart is not right, you need to check yourself. You can come to church, sing in the choir, preach, deaconing, do all whatever you want. Tithing beyond means, but you're just doing it because you know it's right. You need to do it from your heart. From your heart. When you do it from your heart, God will receive that. And you love what you're doing. Nobody might not like the way you line at him, but you keep lining at him. Because there's one spectator in worship service. And just in case you don't know, excuse my grammar, it ain't you. The only spectator is God. The rest of us should be so busy praising him that we can't see anybody else that's not praising him. We need to lift him up because he's worthy to be lifted up. He will judge us with justice. Acts chapter 17, verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. By that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Only Jesus is going to be judging you. And if you have not received him as Lord and Savior, you're going to be in bad shape. That you will have to hear, depart from me. But we need to know that God will judge and govern us, the world, in righteousness, with justice. And justice will be there. Justice is when everything, everybody comes down the pipe the same way. What's expected of one is expected of the other. We need to make sure that we praise him with our whole heart. And if you praise him with your whole heart, you're not going to be busy looking to see what I'm trying to see what I'm doing. You're going to have your mind so focused and so stayed on him that that's all you're going to see. My last point, point number 8 from verses 9 and 10. Because God is a refuge in time of trouble. We need to praise him with our whole heart because he is a refuge in time of trouble. God not only sees and will judge the wicked, but he also will personally care for the victim. Those who are oppressed by the wicked. He sees the suffering of his sheep. And he hears their desperate cries. The Lord is our refuge. He's our shelter. He's our fortress. He's our stronghold. He's our high tower. When invading armies ravage the land, the oppressed flee to the Lord, who is their stronghold. God's people know him personal, know his covenant name, Yahweh, Jehovah, Lord. They trust the godly trust. They feel safe and secure because we know his name. And all that it means. Know does not mean to know him intellectually or to be aware of. It means to know him personal, to know him intimately, and to know by experience. Lord, I know what you have brought me through. I heard Grandmama and Papa and the deacons and the preacher tell me about what you brought them through. But God, I'm not living on what they said. I'm living on how you have been in my life. Oh, what they told me was encouraging to me to stay on the battlefield. But God, I have to know that as you were with them, so will you be with me. I know your word said you would not leave me nor forsake me. But God, I got to have some experience to go that I've gone through where I know that you brought me through. God, and I thank you for where you brought me from. But all the place that you're going to take me to is a blessing beyond anywhere, any place that I can think of. Thank you for being my shelter. Thank you for being my refuge. Thank you for being my healer. Thank you for being my company keeper. When nobody else seemed like they wanted to be around me, you were there all the time. Sometimes seemed like you wasn't there. And I can hear myself asking, God, are you there? And sometimes when I ask you, didn't seem like I got an answer. Oh, but I kept pressing my way. When you press your way, God will meet you at a point where you need for him to meet you at. Y'all have to excuse me. God will meet you at a place when nobody else will meet you there. Not that they deserted you, but sometimes you don't know that a need for you to be there. Because God hadn't fixed me to tell you that I needed you to be there. Sometimes I just believe he, I don't know about nobody else, but I believe he get me in situations where I don't call nobody else. I just sit down and I get in my corner and I talk to him. I tell him all my trouble.
God, you didn't bring me this far. I think it's somewhere in the book of Exodus when Moses went up on the mountain to be alone with God. Got up there and talked to God, and God told him he wasn't going to go with him. Moses said, God, if you don't go, I don't go. Because I can't go anywhere without you. And he further reminded God, said, God, these are your people. They're not none of my people. Then the other people in Egypt going to talk about how you brought us out here and left us all by ourselves. God, you don't want that to happen to you. See, that's why you need to study your Bible so you can know what the Word of God says. My favorite one, and most of you have heard me say it before, Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever thing ye desire when you pray, pray believing and expecting God to answer. And God will answer your prayer. I was going to preach this message today. I thought I was going to preach it for somebody else, but I'm preaching it for me because God done brought me from a mighty long ways, and I didn't. Sometime, y'all can look at me funny. Sometime you just don't want to praise him because you look at your situation where you are and you think that everything is going to go wrong, but he gets you out of place where you don't have anywhere else to go. Thank you, Lord. Get like old man Hezekiah. You turn your face to the wall and you say, God, do you remember what I've done in your word? And then you turn over and everything is all right. But you got to praise him with your whole heart. You can't praise him when you got a pocket full of money. You got to praise him when you don't have a dime or a nickel to rub up against it. You got to praise him with your whole heart. If nobody else praise him, you ought to praise him because of where he brought you from. Listen to me. Praise him with your whole heart. And let me say this. Don't try to mimic somebody else's praise. Praise him the way you praise him. Praise him. Just praise him. And if you don't praise him when you by yourself, you won't praise him with you with other people. You got to have private worship time. You got to have private praise. Then if you have private praise, you can have cooperative praise. That's when we all come together. We can praise him. But if I don't praise him when I'm by myself, hey, no, You got to praise him with your whole heart. And when you praise him, you might not see it now, but everything will be all right. And just because you don't see your answer now, it does not mean the seed is not in the ground. I say this a lot, and I didn't plant it this year. You can't plant tomatoes today and eat tomatoes today unless you buy them from somewhere else. So what you plant today, the seed of God in this word, plant it in your heart. Give it time to grow. Fertilize it, water it, pull weeds out your heart. God will bless you when you praise him. When the praises go up, yeah, but you got to praise him, brothers and sisters. And do it with your whole heart. Don't do it half-heartedly. Don't praise him just because it's Sunday. Praise him on Monday as well. Just praise him. And when you praise him, you will receive a blessing for that. I'm through. you stand, we'll extend an invitation. Listen. Making a decision to come to Christ is one of the best decisions that you will ever make in your life. When you make the decision to come to Christ, you need to make the decision. And you need to come of your own free will and accord. And wherever you are at that point when you decide to come, Christ will meet you there. And I'm not telling you what somebody told me, I'm telling you what I know.
Here I am.
He'll meet you at the point
what I know.
When you come to Him. Will you come to Christ today and allow Him to save your soul? He'll do it. All you have to do is surrender yourself to Him. And when you surrender yourself to Him, He's already working. In your heart, you got to know. Will you come to Christ today? Will you come? Will you come? God bless you.